Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, hour number two. We're going to have a little fun with the Titans schedule, and why not really pick up the fun and bring the suit in?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Suit. Chase McCabe.
Suit.
It's like old times. Joining the crew, just like old times. I mean, it's like a glove. You just slide the glove on.
Yeah.
And everything's cool. It's just very comfortable. Very comfortable.
It is.
So, Chase, I like, you know, you like to monitor the show. How are we doing so far without Carolina? Are we doing okay?
So you're doing fine. I enjoyed the last segment, the discussion in the last segment, because I hope you don't take offense to this.
No, go ahead.
But my immediate reaction was, if you were a college student today and you told that story about going, you know, leaving East Lansing, your mom saying get back there, like, I feel like you might have entered the you might have just entered the portal because it would have been that easy.
Yeah, there is a possibility, a high possibility, considering, you know, how much emphasis is being put, not necessarily by the universities, but by outside forces, how much emphasis is being put on NIL.
Yeah.
And if you can get, you know,
and like I know what
$20,000, you know, from an NIL deal.
Sure.
You know, six figures, whatever.
It sounds like a ton of money.
Yeah.
Like $10,000 sounds huge
for a college
to an 18, 19-year-old kid.
Exactly.
It's huge. It's really nothing. In the big picture, it's nothing.
You ain't got to pay taxes.
But it sounds like a lot when you're that age, and it's hard to get a kid to really hone in on that. So the trendiness of it, right, I think that's part of it. It wasn't trendy when you were a freshman.
Exactly.
If it were trendy, it might have swayed you a little bit
more. Very seldom did you see people leave a university on their own, willingly leave a university to try to go to another university. It never really did happen because of all of the hoops you had to jump through, which in a sense was good, but some of it did have to change.
Yeah.
So a lot of it did have to change, but I think it's changed so much now that it makes it too easy for these young men and women to get into the portal. And once they're in the portal, it's like they're forgotten about. If you're not the top of the top, you lose all your scholarship money. You lose your scholarship. Whatever, you know, financial aid you got or whatnot at that school, you lose it all. And it's like you got to reapply again, and you may not get the same amount. So these kids need to be truly educated on NIL and transferring. And honestly, it should be a class they have to take as a senior going into college. Like, these are the things that are going to happen if you do enter the portal, or, you know, these are the things that you need to know before you enter the portal, if indeed you go to one university and want to transfer.
All right, Chase, as you know, on Friday, Derek pulls out the dad jokes.
I got a few.
He's got some good ones. All right, now we've got Chris on the line. Is he still on there, Nick? All right, so let's see if Chris can hang with Derek on the dad jokes here. Chase, you be the barometer here. You and I will be the barometer on what we think is this good. Now, Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right, so how has Derek done so far on the dad joke Fridays the last couple of weeks? Doing okay?
Well, yeah, he's great. For one, I'm a huge Derek Mason fan anyway. Got three of his jerseys on my wall, and I love all of his dad jokes.
Okay, so you're just – if it's Derek telling the joke, it's a good joke.
Has he signed any of those jerseys?
No, sir. I sure wish he had. But
we need to take care of that.
We'll see what we can do about that.
We'll figure this out.
We'll figure it out.
All right. So, Chris, you have a dad joke to share with us this week?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, what do you got?
All right. I don't think you guys have heard this one. You might have, but here goes. After an unsuccessful harvest, why did the farmer decide to try a career in music?
Why?
Unsuccessful harvest, so he wants to... Why?
Because he had a ton of sick beats.
Boo.
It's an epic dad joke. Yes. Epic dad. See, y'all that's don't good, understand. You should understand dad jokes, Willie.
Yes.
Chase don't really understand dad jokes, okay?
I understand.
Well, yeah, okay. You're,
I got a lot of friends
exactly,
that are dads.
Absolutely.
And I make stupid jokes all the time.
But dad jokes are not really meant to be like hilarious really right, to everybody, but they're hilarious to you.
Right. And if it gets the look from the kids, uh-huh, like, dad.
Yeah.
That means you know it's a good, it's a good
dad
joke.
Yeah, you did your job. You did your job.
Because then they'll walk away and go, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. Pretty clever. All right, Chris, thanks a lot for calling. We'll see what we can do about your jerseys here.
Yeah. We get them.
Now, one thing that did have us absolutely erupting in laughter.
Real quick, I have a dad joke.
I got a dad joke.
I had to look it up real quick.
Chase has jokes.
For D-Mace. Why did the ketchup blush?
Why did the ketchup blush? Did it have something to do with mustard?
No, it saw the salad dressing.
No, God, please, no.
That's a good dad joke.
Thank you.
It's good. It's a good dad joke.
There you go. You got it.
See, there we go.
It's a delayed
I'm using
reaction.
That one. I'm using that one.
That's a good dad joke. Yes. It's a good dad joke.
All right.
Okay.
All right,
now, to the schedule.
Now, first, you know, are we going to play this, Nick? Is this properly edited and things like that? But or should we just go line by line? But kudos.
We played it this morning.
You played it this morning.
It's good. Okay. It's FCC compliant.
Most of the people by now, I mm-hmm, would think, have probably had this come across their phone, their desk,
Twitter,
whatever.
Or
this is really well done. The schedule reveal by the Titans. And Chase, as you know, you've patrolled the streets of Broadway, Second Avenue. Many times there's some some wacky characters down there. You can get some good material down there.
I've been known to be on the streets of Nashville for a Nashville uh-huh, night or two.
Have you ever been, you know, polled for one of these, you know, in different circles? Like, this guy looks like he'd be fun to have on our video.
I feel like Ricky and I did get asked to do something one time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was a little fuzzy.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the idea, right? So the Titans did this. You know, the old David Letterman, mm-hmm, you know, Jay Leno used to do this all the time. So they asked a
man
lot
of the
streets,
fans. Like yeah,
the man
on the streets.
People on the streets asked about
Letterman was,
the Titans
was probably
opponents,
the best at it.
Yeah. So they got some really funny answers.
What the f*** is that?
Being shown the logo of the opponent.
That was the Saints.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lightning McQueen.
No.
Chargers.
Oh, that's just the football logo.
Browns.
The Boston Bobcats. No idea.
Bengals.
Not really familiar with our logos, are we?
Yeah.
Not the Cowboys. Colts.
Baltimore Orioles.
Ravens.
This one is the Red Stallion.
Falcon.
Close.
49 to 69ers. 49 to
Cowboys.
Steelers.
It's a Pirates. From the islands of the Caribbean.
Bucks.
Chester Cheeto.
Jags.
Tigers, North Carolina Tigers.
Carolina Panthers.
Texas, that's the Cowboys. That's the Cowboys, Texas. Got that.
Colts again.
No, you didn't.
Atlanta. That's Florida.
Florida Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Oh, Texans.
Texas.
Eagles.
Seahawks.
Who's that? Bulls? Who? Patriots? That's the Patriots logo.
The Texans.
That actually does not exist.
Jags again.
That is Nashville, Tennessee.
Tennessee Titans.
Titans.
Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee Titans.
Tennessee Titans.
Okay, so I do have a question on that. Do we think they actually knew the Titans logo, or they were just prompted to say Titans?
I'm not sure.
I think
these people are famous now.
I think some of them, I can't, well, if you're on Broadway, I can't say you're from Nashville, because a lot of times you're not from Nashville.
I'm going to say it's at least 50-50.
Yeah, it was 50-50. I think it was 50-50 with the logo, too.
So I will give...
With the Titans.
I will give a... Now, the only two that I have seen that actually did this are the Colts and the Falcons, and I will give them a ton of credit. So the Colts have changed on their Twitter. It says not the Cowboys at Colts.
Good.
And then the Falcons, the Falcons definitely get the nod because it says Red Stallions, and then underneath just says RAR.
I feel like the Buccaneers should consider changing their name to the Pirates from the Islands of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I think so too.
And if you haven't seen the video,
please go see it.
The audio only takes you so far. It's another level when you see
the actual
how it's
video.
It's really funny. Well done.
But looking at this schedule, and I know we all do this, and when it came out, I'm sure a bunch of Titan fans looked at the schedule and was like, oh my goodness, look. Win, 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 loss, win, win. So they basically summed up the Titans' schedule by looking at it. And some people probably have them, you know, having a winning record and going to the playoffs. Some people probably have them struggling. Some might have them as a mid-level team. But if you look at if you do look at their schedule and you sort of think of what the AFC has become because of the quarterbacks, just based on the quarterbacks, I think they came away from it, you know, on a better end.
Sure.
Than not. If you're just talking
quarterbacks. This is a winnable schedule.
Yeah. If you're just talking quarterbacks, you look and you say, well, they don't have to play a lot of the quarterbacks that are considered top-tier quarterbacks. They do have some on their schedule, but not the gauntlet that we see in regards to quarterbacks in AFC. But, you know, to me, an NFL schedule is going to be tough no matter what.
All right, so on
that. Some are going to be tougher than others.
So when we come back, we'll go through it week by week, and we'll give you our thoughts on
the suit's in here, so you want to go to break on time. Okay, I see what you're doing.
Yeah,
That's good.
I'm trying. More with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, along with the suit, here on 102.5 The Game. Ah, yes. Bringing back memories when Nick was a rookie. Tried to teach about the Duke of Earl. He's made steady progress since then.
That was a big
rookie growing pain.
That was a rookie growing pain.
He plays like a coronation music. We're like, what the hell is this?
King Charles would have been proud.
But you know what? He didn't want to transfer.
No, he didn't.
Nope, he
stuck
it out.
He
stuck it out. He did not hit the portal.
Look, there were rumors. There were rumors that he was going to enter the portal and transfer to Stillman and Company, and he did not.
Yes,
but it turns out Caroline did. She transferred to this show,
so it can work. Both ways can work.
It worked.
But the grass isn't always greener. All right, so let's go through the Titans schedule. Okay, so number one, did you guys feel like they got more primetime games than you thought they were going to get?
Yeah, I thought they were only going to get one, and they ended up with two. None are at home, but they get a Thursday night against the 49ers, 69ers. the Steelers. And that was one I had kind of circled thinking, all right, that has potential to be a primetime. So that's a Thursday night game, and then they get Miami on Monday night. Now, I've been saying this for months, I thought at Jacksonville would be a Monday night game. So I got the state right, but the team wrong.
Yeah. Well, I think I said two because I consider the London a prime time. And Willie and Caroline was like, no, play at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said they're the only game on.
It's a nationally televised game. Right. They're the only game on.
Prime time is probably not quite the right lingo, but nationally televised.
Nationally televised game. So
but
they
is,
got,
it, is
they
it
got
nationally
one
televised?
I guess it's on NFL Network.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
because sometimes those London games you don't get unless you get the full package.
Last year they did them all, I thought.
Not every one of them.
I would wake up and watch on NFL Network.
Yeah, I saw them no matter who was playing. I end up seeing it. But I thought they were going to get at least two because of the Thursday in the London game. That third one was a bonus. I didn't know that they would get a Monday night game. But I did say yesterday, listen, the sole reason why I believe they're going to get primetime games is because of Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Those two guys.
Okay.
And they end up getting three.
So we got that is about what we thought. Another thing we brought up yesterday in anticipation, how would they do the division games? One of my pet peeves is you should not play a division team twice over a 3 or 4 week span, but that's exactly what happened with Houston.
See,
so
I've
it's interesting.
I like that.
I don't like it because you're getting you could have any number of scenarios by the time you get to that point. But it is interesting to me thinking about a guy like Stroud, who you would figure is going to be in there at some point, and then you're going to see him after probably several games under his belt. He's going to be further along than he would have been if you played him twice early in the season. That's just one thing that comes to mind. But I would have liked one in the first half of the season, one in the second half of the season. They did it with Jacksonville. They basically did it with Indianapolis, but not with Houston.
Yeah, well, and think about this. So starting on the weekend after Thanksgiving, in 3 out of the 4 weeks, they could see Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, and C.J. Stroud, hypothetically, because they got Carolina here on the 26th, Indy here the next week, and then they're at Miami for the Monday night game, and then Houston here on the 17th.
And like you said, the odds tell you that most years, there's only been a handful of quarterbacks who, as rookies, have led their teams to 9 or more wins. You can look at it. History, you know, there have been a couple, but history would tell you that it's very difficult to win big with a rookie quarterback in his first year, no matter how high the pick is. So those games could be very winnable games.
And who's under center for the Titans then?
Yeah.
Well, is it still
this is all in the, you know, you have optimism that the Titans could be good. If the Titans are going to be good, it's more likely that it's going to be Tannehill that's going to make them a good team.
Well, a lot of
unless it's really, I mean, it could really be going against the grain. We don't know. Right. But like I will never forget being in Florida. I just moved to Florida when Dan Marino burst on the scene. Like the Dolphins were a good team. Then they had David Woodley and Don Strock, and they went to the Super Bowl right before that, and then all of a sudden, boom, they threw Marino in what it was like a lightning bolt, and everything changed. That's a rare thing. That's a rare thing.
So I'll ask you guys the same question that I asked Michelle this morning on our show. So you go 6 games until the off week, all right? So you go to London, and then you get the bye. If they're 3-3 at that point, to me, that's a very good scenario to be in. And the three that I would say that could be losses would potentially be Chargers, Bengals, and then the Ravens in London, because I feel like those are the toughest opponents that they may have all year, at least on paper, would be in that first six. So if you're 3-3 by the time you get to the bye, you got to feel good about your season, and I don't think you're thinking about a quarterback change.
No, you're not thinking about a quarterback change unless the quarterback isn't playing well, which we don't expect that from Ryan Tannehill based upon his history here with the Titans. Now, he hasn't been the greatest, but he hadn't been bad either. He's been sort of middle of the road, a little bit better than that. So if they're 3-3 and Ryan Tannehill is playing well, then, yeah, you keep him in as your quarterback, because you're looking at what am I doing within a division. They got one division game. In the first 6 games, they play Indy. So if you can win that Indy game, then, okay, we're 1-0 in division. Now we're moving forward. If you're 3-3 overall, you can't – I don't think you can start messing with, you know, the dish. You got to allow the dish to continue to simmer and cook and then see what you have as you move on with the season. Because 3-3, you're not even halfway through the season. And you're sitting 3-3, which means you're about at your average. You're in the middle of the pack. You're 500, and you're probably, depending on, you know, how the other teams, where do they play each other that first 6 weeks, you may be either at the top of the division, in the middle of the division. If you're 1-0, you're still good within the division. So you don't make no changes. You just play it. You continue to play it out and see how it goes.
At that point, on just – looking at it right now with an incomplete roster, just thinking what I know, I guess, is the best way to put it. I would have the Titans at 3-3, and I would have the Jags at 4-2, based on their first 6 games compared to the Titans' first 6 games. And so you're right that you're right there in the hunt, and you haven't even played the Jags yet at the at that point.
No, I mean, you're right. we're talking if indeed that scenario sort of plays itself out the first six games when you're talking about the Jags, more importantly, the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and so, look, the Saints are a wild card because I think that's a tough place to start because it's Derek Carr's first game in New Orleans.
Well, let me –
Titans are a two-and-a-half-point underdog, by the way. According to our man, what's his name?
Jimmy Shapiro.
Jimmy Shapiro, who immediately texts us everything like he's our best buddy.
I haven't even looked.
He set lines for week one. New Orleans a 2.5-point favorite.
But if you look at the first six games of their schedule, this is going to be a difficult part of their schedule because of whatever you know you may look at Cleveland and say Cleveland is going to be Cleveland. No, but Cleveland.
I don't know what they are.
I think they're going to be better because now you have a quarterback that's going to be able to practice with the team, you know, through camp and everything else. The anticipation is not, okay, he's going to practice and play in a few preseasons, then we're not going to have him for six games.
And they looked at times last year like a decent team. Exactly. Like they had some good weeks, even with Brissett quarterback, and you're like, wow, if they had Watson at full tilt, Like, so I think they will have some optimism. I would say. So it's really hard. As we know, we're sitting here in May. Things change a lot. And when we're penciling in W here, you know, I like 4-2 here. That's going to evolve a lot for sure. Here's one other thing I think we should cover. How do you guys feel of 5 of the last 7 at home? That's pretty road heavy early. Mm-hmm. 5 of the last 7 at home. Now, as we know, in these changing times, home field advantage is not what we perceive sometimes. It's a lot more 50-50 in general in the schedule. But do you like, especially with the way the weather changes in our city, right? It's a lot different playing in September than it is playing in December.
Yeah, but it's
so you could have some bad weather games in there.
Yeah, but your opponents. I mean, you don't have to go out to Seattle, so that's a plus. You got Carolina. You don't know how Carolina's going to look, but you have them at home. Indianapolis, you're going to know what Indianapolis looks like prior to playing them at home because you play them early in the season at their place. You got Houston here. Obviously, I said Seattle. And then you got your end season with Jacksonville. Now, whether that Jacksonville game will be a game that decides the division or not, I don't know. But it's going to decide something, whether it be for the Tennessee Titans or the Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe. Because I think ultimately this division is going to be a little bit closer than what many may think. And I'm talking about all the teams. I'm not just talking about Jacksonville and the Titans. Mm-hmm. I think Indianapolis is going to be a much better team. And I think Houston, with their new head coach, they're going to be a much better team than what we – and they've always gave the Titans fits.
I don't necessarily 100% disagree with you. I think they're going to be better. Mm-hmm. But I think they might be like a year away from actually being able to do something. Like, I could see them being so young and having a rookie head coach, a rookie quarterback, that you're going to see growing pains, especially early on. But – I would almost put them in the category of being like Detroit and being that team that, and it may not be next year, it could be the following year where they go, where did they come from? Mm-hmm. And then, oh, watch out. Indy, I think it's all dependent on because I think they start Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. So how good can Gardner Minshew be as a starter to give Richardson time to develop? Personally, Richardson doesn't need to touch the field this year. I don't think.
Well, I've heard both sides of the argument there. You've heard, and Tim Hasselbeck said it, he needs to just play. He hasn't played enough, so you need to play him. But these are all the arguments about when is the right time to throw the rookie in there. So, again, that's all going to play itself out. But some interesting questions about the schedule. It's time to transition into Ask D-Mace. You can ask D-Mace something about the schedule if you'd like. Of course, it's all open. Whatever you want to talk to D-Mace about, life problems, issues, football stuff, history stuff, all of that is open, and we've got Ask D-Mace coming up here in just a moment. Suit, thanks for coming by. You can ask D-Mace the first question if you want to stick around. You got busy?
I'm good. I got to make some calls, got some meetings. Yeah.
Suit duties.
Suit fittings, all those things.
That's how life goes.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, good to see you guys.
We're coming back with more here on The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
Jeepers.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
All right, it is time for Ask D-Mace. The canvas is wide open. Boom. Call or text on our call and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We've got John Fogerty tickets, July 25th. That's the prize today. 615-737-1025. That's 615-737-1025. We've talked a lot about the schedule today. D-Mace is a big Laker fan. We're just looking at Stephen A. Smith's famous buzzer beaters from the playoffs. We can get into anything and everything here. We just want to have some fun on a Friday. We'll talk about the snub of UC Soros at 1 o'clock. That's going to be part of what we get into there. Mm-hmm. But hit the lines and ask D-Mace whatever you want to ask. One caller or one texter from the last discussion to just sort of transition here, mm-hmm. asking about the turf. Is there going to be the new synthetic turf at the stadium when we're envisioning these games? And that is something. We talked about 5 of the last 7 are at home. Mm-hmm. It won't be the field muddy issues that we had before because there will be a different surface there. Exactly. That's going to change the game a little bit.
New turf, absolutely. So we'll see.
Yep. Hey, D-Mace, do you still keep up with the old morning show crew? Loved that show with Braden and Nick. Now, harkens me back. We had Nick on, Nick Cale, not too long ago. We had a good time talking to him.
Yeah, I keep up with Nick, keep up with Braden. Both of them are doing well. Nick has transitioned into more of the political realm there in the Northeast. Braden is doing Braden things, talking sports. So both of them seem to be doing well. That was a good show. And, I really learned a lot from both of those guys. Just to watch both of them and our different personalities. So, but yeah.
Are you getting more sleep?
Hell yeah, I'm getting more sleep. No longer that I got to wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
737-1025. Hit up D-Mace with some questions here. Next one. Mr. D-Mace. There's a little emphasis on how he puts this in there. What would your thoughts be on the USFL and XFL merging, then using their leave as a grooming area for new draft picks or players who need a little bit more experience, say like the NHL model. Well, of course, there would be a lot of planning, but what about the general concept? This guy's kind of speaking my language. So, Randy, I appreciate where you're going with this.
You know what? It probably is sort of like when the NFL and the AFL merged and, made a bigger, conference or whatnot, because for so long it was the AFL doing their own thing and then the NFL doing theirs. And then after some years, they just decided to merge and make one huge conglomerate. And we see, what has happened since, NFL being the biggest North American sport around. So that is interesting. I don't know how the two owners of those said groups, those said leagues would approach a situation like that. But I think, it could work if everybody was on the same page, just like anything else. Because now you're taking two leagues, you're merging them together, and you're building a bigger league with more teams and more money. It could work. But then you're saying, well, it could be a feeder for the NFL.
That's what I love. I would love to find a way to get a feeder league in there.
But
where
then
guys
you have
could
to
develop.
You have to convince the owners of the XFL, the USFL, which are going to merge, to also now give up some ownership in their league to the NFL, because essentially that's what it would be. The NFL will have ownership in your league if indeed it's a true feeder league for the NFL. If guys that come out of college, they're not quite ready to to make it to the NFL. Either they don't get drafted or they may make a club and they end up getting cut but need some more grooming. Well, they go to this said league, whatever it would be called, but it's a merger between the XFL and the USFL. They're still going to want some type of ownership of that if it's going to be, you know, if you're feeding me players ultimately.
615-737-1025. We're going to go to the phones in here in just a minute. We've got a good one here. Hey, D-Mace, what happened to the Frog's car?
The Frog's car?
It got towed. Add that to the list, D-Mace.
Yes.
Put that in the file.
Thank you. I got
Dad
it.
Dad Joke Friday for D-Mace.
What happened to the Frog's car?
Got towed. And then he adds, what has become your new dream career? Is that a trick question? I mean, you're living the dream right now, aren't you?
The dream
here we
right
are.
Now. Exactly.
On the air.
We're on the air.
On the airwaves.
Sports, talking Titans, Preds, Vols, Vandy. I'm living the dream, man. Living the dream.
Oh, so. Man. Now we got another guy. Hey, D-Mace, what do you call a bear with no teeth?
Toothless.
A gummy bear. Our listeners are on a roll. They're on a roll.
Oh, my goodness. You want to go to the phones?
Let's go to the phones. What do we got? We're
going to go to
is
Wes.
Is that Doug or Wes?
Is it Doug or Wes?
Who's up first? Doug up first.
Doug up first.
Yeah. Doug, welcome to Ask
D-Mace. I've got a football question today.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. The schedule is out. We see who the Titans are playing. We don't really know who the quarterback is going to be, but what game do you see the second quarterback will get playing time? Either we beat the crap out of somebody and he gets garbage minutes, or the score is so crazy that we got to throw the other guy in to get some garbage minutes. What game do you see at second quarterback getting playing time?
Ooh. Thanks, Doug, for the question.
There's
not
that many blowouts usually.
But
in
even in that scenario, I can't see it happening anywhere in the first 10 games of the season, 11 games of the season. Because here's what happens. If there is sort of like a blowout and you throw Will Levis in there, and say there's, I don't know, a quarter left. You want to get Ryan Tannehill out of there, man. Derrick Henry, Tannehill, y'all out. You know, don't want to chance it. Put him on the sideline. Still a quarter left. If Will Levis comes in and he does well, you've opened up the Pandora's box. Now, for no reason at all. You didn't have to open it. But you open up Pandora's box. And what is everyone going to say after that if Will Levis does well?
Get the kid in there.
He's ready. Get the kid. He's ready to go. No, you don't play this young man unless you have to. I can see them doing it toward the end of the season. Like maybe say for instance, the Titans, they do well. And say they're up a game or two in their division. And that last game don't mean nothing. They're making it to the playoffs. Sort of like it was a couple of years ago. I could see them then playing Will Levis and saying, okay, let's see what the kid can do the last game of the season. Or maybe the second to last game of the season. But I can't see them doing that anytime before that.
Yeah, so there may not be such a thing as garbage time.
Exactly.
Almost, in the eyes of a lot of fans anyway, if nothing else. Because as soon as you open that can of worms, like you said, it could get very complicated.
Exactly.
All right, segment number two of Ask D-Mace is coming up. Get the questions coming. Think outside the box. You want to go straight football, Titan schedule, dad jokes, you could do that. But life's lessons. D-Mace is here for you. And you can win John Fogerty tickets for July 25th. That's going to be a fun summer night. 615-737-1025 here on Ask D-Mace, 1025 The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes, 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3,
The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Segment two of Ask D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. John Fogarty tickets on the line. We got the texters lined up. Who we Fogarty. Got? Do we still have Wes on there, Nick? I am looking up. I don't see the name, but I believe Wes is on the line. So let's get Wes to get it started. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes, what do you got for D-Mace?
Man, I thought I had a dad joke, but I don't. I think it might just be just a little too inappropriate for the radio, so we'll have to wait. My question for you, man, is I got a sports question today, and it is, who is the most important, or I guess important would be the word. Who is the most important to their sport? Would that be LeBron James to the NBA? Tom Brady to the NFL, or Willie Mays to the MLB?
Ooh. Oh, man. Well, considering, you know, the times, I think it would be a no-brainer, would be Willie Mays in Major League Baseball. That would be a no-brainer, you know, because of, you know, the day and what was going on back in those days or whatnot. So that wouldn't you say that would be almost like a no-brainer in a sense, that Willie Mays would be that guy that was most important to their sport based on, you know, the times. Now you look at LeBron. Because in Tom Brady, I don't think Tom Brady's, as great as he is, then his importance to the game, it's because it was just from a play standpoint. And in league, in the NFL, they go no matter what.
Yeah.
The NFL just keep going. They don't care who you are, how great you were. They keep, it's a machine. They keep going. They will honor you and always honor you, a guy like Tom Brady, but the machine goes on.
Mm-hmm.
NBA is different from the sense of they need a face. We've always seen it. When it, you know, whether it was Magic and Bird that saved the NBA back then, or Michael Jordan that, you know, elevated it even more to a point where it became more global, to LeBron James taking it and keeping it at that standard along with the other people now that are sort of in the game too. So if you're asking me if I'm sort of stacking the importance of each individual, I think it would be Willie Mays first, LeBron, and then Tom Brady.
The Willie Mays thing is interesting. I agree with what you're saying. He was not Jackie Robinson.
He wasn't Jackie Robinson, but
he was in that first wave of integration. Absolutely. So that was a very important time for influence that goes beyond just what he was doing on the field. But he definitely is in that group, right? So good question. Good stuff from Wes. All right, we got a lot of questions here. Next up, texter says, hi, do you think A-Rod will do well with the Jets? Meaning Aaron Rodgers, obviously, not A-Rod. Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod. Can they beat the Bills? Happy Nurses Week from a 20-year registered nurse. This nurse wants to win. I listen to you guys every day. Tighten up, she says. Well, thank you for the call.
Thank you for the text. Thank you for the text. And happy Nurse Day. That's what it is.
Nurses Week.
Nurses Week. Excuse me.
Hey, the nurses deserve a week. I'm okay
happy
with that.
Happy Nurses Week. Nurse Week. Because they do a lot of the grunt work that we don't see sometimes. We only see the surgeon, but you don't actually see the nurses. And the nurses are there for a reason. Without them, a lot of this stuff can't happen. But Aaron Rodgers, Jets, I think, you know, I heard this the other day. I was watching, it might have been ESPN that I was watching. And they were going back and forth with the Jets and, you know, can the Jets, you know, will they win the championship this year? And, you know, all this stuff because of Aaron Rodgers. And there were some points being made, some valid points being made, just like there were today when I was watching it. You can't. He gives you an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers. But we've seen teams. Now, we saw what the Rams did, and it worked for them. It worked for them. They went out and they got the quarterback. But they had a really good team before that. But it worked for them. They won. They got their guy. They won the Super Bowl. But we also seen we've also seen what Daniel Snyder tried to do many years ago when he brought in all these future Hall of Famers, and they didn't even make the playoffs. He had Bruce Smith. He had Mark Carrier. He had Deion Sanders. Brought Mark Brunell in. He had all of these guys that were either going to be Hall of Famers or borderline Hall of Famers, and I don't even think they made the playoffs that year. So I say that to say this. It's not just the collection of guys you bring together. It's how they mesh once they get there. They may not make it to the Super Bowl this year, the Jets. I don't expect them to make it to the Super Bowl this year. It's going to possibly take another year. That's why they traded so much for Aaron Rodgers, because to them, this is not a one-year deal. This is a two, maybe three-year deal. Same with Tampa. It wasn't a one-year deal with them. This was a multiple-year deal with Tom Brady. Just so happened, they found it, and it started clicking the second half of the season, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. But that defense played lights out. So if the Jets want to have an opportunity to win, like this year, Super Bowl, their defense has to play lights out, because I think their defense will be ahead of the curve, whereas their offense will be a step behind.
Okay, this is good stuff. Excellent question so far. The next one, a very good question, and I had to try to do a little research on this.
Uh-huh.
D-Mace, how does the NFL determine the location of the games or what the schedule is between two teams that finished in the same place the previous year? In other words, two teams finished, say, 8-9 or 7-10. Mm-hmm. Who gets the second place schedule? Who gets the third place schedule? That's the question.
I think they break it down, you know. It obviously, you look at the record first. If the record's identical, like the whole of the record is identical, then I think you start to break it down. Well, common opponents. What's the
strength of schedule?
Yes,
I believe that's correct. The strength of schedule is whoever had the tougher strength of schedule. Mm-hmm. That's how you determine who's second, who's third. Like, I think
based upon the previous year,
like if you played against a tougher schedule, yeah, the previous year that's been done.
Okay,
so you would get the easier schedule if you played the tougher schedule the year before. I think is how
yeah. If both of you end up with the same exact record, so I mean the NFL has they've gotten that figured out. I don't think that's been has that happened much.
Well, I guess ties do happen.
Yeah, ties happen.
So you have to go. The strength of schedule. Of course, you could probably get into a pretty good debate on what's the real measure of strength of schedule, but I think it's fairly. I don't know what their
because
equation
your strength
is
of schedule,
at home the and road, and all that stuff.
Yeah, but at the beginning, it may be different as you go along through the season. Because what do we say? Listen, I understand what we projected to be and what this team was last year, meaning their opponents. But then you get into a season, and that team may end up being, for whatever reason, worse this year than it was the previous year. You know, so yeah, it started off with the strength of schedule being a hard one. But as you start to play, that schedule, whether it be because of injuries or that team, for whatever reason, just not playing well, that strength of schedule ends up diminishing because of that.
Good questions coming our way here. Okay, question for D-Mace. If you were a veteran wide receiver on the market today, would you avoid the Titans? I tend to think that agents might even be nudging receivers away from here. But I want a receiver's thoughts on what your mindset would be as a free agent looking at the Titans.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. And, you know, I didn't avoid the Baltimore Ravens. And they had a second-year quarterback. And they were a team that, you know, was known for running the football and playing great defense. So, no, I wouldn't, you know, avoid the Titans. And this is the reason why. One, they have a really good coach. Two, they got a damn good running back. Three, their quarterback is good. But, you know, most importantly, they got a really good defense as it sits now. I know that we're going to win more games than not because of the defense. And as long as we do our part offensively, we're going to be okay. We're going to be in a position to not only make the playoffs, but be a contender for the Super Bowl. You can have a high-powered offense, and if your defense is trash, you ain't going nowhere. When I was looking at teams after I was booted from here, I looked at their defenses. Like, I got tired of playing against the Baltimore Ravens defense. I knew who they were. So my thing is, if I play with this defense, the opportunity for me getting to the Super Bowl is greater with this team right here because of their defense, because of their attitude, because of the foundation of their organization. Really good defense, stud running back in Jamal Lewis. The quarterback was young, but they had a really good offensive line. And they had drafted a receiver in the first round the year I got there, and Mark Clayton, and then myself, and they had Todd Heap as well. So we had a good offense. The quarterback just needed to grow within that offense. So I felt, listen, this is not about me, you know, catching a million balls. This gives me an opportunity to make it to the Super Bowl.
So you do have to think outside the box a little bit. It's not just what's the history. What other surrounding factors are there? All right, one more question. This comes from Keith. Hey, D-Mace, why do fools fall in love?
Who was that?
It's Diana Ross, the Supremes.
The Supremes didn't sing it first. It was Lemon. What was his name? The guy they made a movie of. I forget his name. But why do fools fall in love?
That is the question, D-Mace.
Yeah, I'm saying.
We ask questions in life here. This is Keith. Why do fools fall in love?
Because we all have this idea of what love is, and we all want it, and we crave it. We're humans. We crave love. And, you know, no matter what, we're going to fall in love. It's gonna overtake us no matter what.
You know how much rejection I face every day.
Hey, you gonna continue.
Sometimes
to fall in
it
love.
Is chemical, yeah. Right? It's beyond your control, right? But, sometimes
even the wisest ones fall in love.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Love doesn't look at your intelligence at all, not one bit.
The mysteries of life answered by D-Mace here on our show every Friday. This is good. Good segment from Ask D-Mace. Sorry we didn't get to everybody today. We tried to, but we'll determine the winner here in the next hour. Coming up, too, we will talk what the heck happened with the GMs. They didn't vote. UC Soros, one of the Vezina finalists, we will discuss. Plus, D-Mace will update the NBA playoffs. We got a lot coming up in the final hour of the show right here on 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.